Boy, it's going to be a busy day tomorrow.
It sure is. So just like 7 years ago.
So many things going on. Well, I was talking about the NCAA finals.
Basketball, yes. Purdue and UConn.
History-making, right? It's going to be history-making?
Yeah, well, if UConn wins, they'll be the first repeat champion since Florida did it in 2006 and 2007. Purdue has not been to the championship game since 1969.
Ooh.
So it'll be certainly a reason for celebration in West Lafayette and Boiler fans all across the country.
20 was just a lad back then.
He was.
In northern Indiana.
So were you.
Not in northern Indiana.
No, but you were a lad.
I didn't start going there for my smokes and cigarettes and fireworks until much later.
I actually went to Purdue my freshman year in college.
Oh, so you're rooting for them.
I am. Andy doesn't like me now, but
it's okay. I have no dog in this fight. I just hope that it's a good game.
Hasn't UConn pretty much just been
they've steamrolled.
Walking off with everything?
Yeah, they didn't. They were challenged a little bit yesterday by Alabama. It was one of the rarity games that they didn't win by 20 or more. They won by 14. But it's a team that's really deep. They've got the interesting matchup is going to be the matchup between Klingon and Zach Edey, two big guys, very physical. And that's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. But and Purdue actually can win the first title for the Big Ten since 2000. That's when Michigan State won.
And we're going to be broadcasting that game.
6:30 pregame show starts tomorrow night.
Oh, pretty exciting.
We're all in.
Pretty, pretty, pretty exciting.
Yes, it is.
I think it's fine.
As always.
How about the women's final today?
I tell you what, this I said.
How about the audience ratings?
14.2 million
for these women's games.
So there was a stat out yesterday.
I don't know why I should be so surprised. I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it like, imagine that people are watching women.
There was,
but that's not what I meant. It's just phenomenal.
There hasn't been interest
ratings.
Before. Yeah, and now it's been expanded because of several teams and several players, most notably Caitlin Clark from Iowa. 14.2 million viewers the other night for that semifinal game between Iowa and UConn. And there was a stat that it kind of put it all in perspective. It said that 14.2 million viewers was more than an average for the World Series, the NBA Finals. I mean, there was a list of like 20 things in recent history that you'd think, oh, these are highly watched events.
Yeah.
But this beat them all. And I don't think it'll be any different today because, Iowa has the intrigue with Caitlin Clark. South Carolina is undefeated. They're both one seeds. So that game being played around 2 o'clock Chicago time today in Cleveland.
Okay.
There's a lot going on. You're right.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Why are they called seeds?
It's a really good question.
Why aren't they number one ranked?
Perhaps they wanted them to grow. They plant the number one seed, and maybe a 16 seed could blossom into a number one eventually.
20, why is that? You're the science officer on this ship.
I think Andy just gave us a very perceptive,
stupid
answer to this.
All right, so in other words,
it blossoms into a great thing.
In other words, neither one of you know either. See how many sun songs I can find to feature on the program today. The Walker Brothers, The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore. At least for 4 minutes tomorrow, anyway. Remember how creepy it is when the eclipse takes place and it gets dark?
It is weird.
It's like the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Exactly.
What was the robot's name in that? That movie? Klaatu?
Klaatu, that was it.
Yeah. Was it
Klaatu? Yeah, Klaatu.
Isn't it weird what sticks in your brain? Like important things that I need to do, I can't remember. But ask me the name of the robot in the movie.
That's why you're led around by the hand. Is because
I'm months away from that.
Only months away.
Babbling things that don't matter. Remember when he used to have a radio show, and now he just
walks down the hall going, Klaatu!
Incoherent
Klaatu,
things.
Klaatu!
But wasn't there was a scene in that movie, right, where the sun went away or something?
When the flying saucer landed, I think. Yeah. And, you know, we were down in Carbondale 7 years ago.
For the last one. Down there with your
dad. And the sky, yes, Dad was with me. Yeah. And the sky, I have never, ever seen such a weird color in the sky and in the just in the air and all around you in the landscape.
Yeah.
Just before you get into totality, it's very, very, very creepy.
It's eerie. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely eerie. I think that's part of the attraction. For the whole thing.
Yeah, it is.
That it gets like this weird darkness, like you said, for 4 minutes. And you run around and steal as much stuff as you can.
You're going for the Easter candy, right?
Well, that's mostly gone now.
No.
it's and people, inevitably, you're not supposed to look at the sun.
No, absolutely do not, under any circumstances.
I say even if you have the glasses, I still wouldn't want to look at it.
Yeah, there are people that don't even trust these certified glasses. Yeah. And I understand that because permanent damage to your eyes, that's there, and they can't change it. So, you would be dealing with that forever.
I'm going to ask Dr. Silver about that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The retinal burns that you can get.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to take the dog out for a walk during that time either, because he may look up.
Well, the dog, don't animals act weird during this also?
Probably.
Yeah, they do, because they get confused thinking that it's night already. Yeah,
they think it's night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And don't, like, birds fall from the sky?
No, I don't know.
Don't frogs? Don't frogs fall from the sky?
No.
I'm going in my root cellar. If I had one, that's where I would be.
Your root cellar.
Yep, I'm going to be down there with Auntie M.
And Granny. Auntie M.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird out there. I'm perfectly fine to watch it all on TV.
Yeah, me too.
And heaven knows it's going to be covered by everybody. Over at the Big Number 9, we've got like the A-team. Tom Skilling's back from his retirement already.
Yes, he is.
Are you surprised?
No.
No?
Not really. Not really. Well, I mean, this is a special...
Oh, yeah.
Not exactly a meteorological thing, but it's right down his alley. And he famously covered the last one where he got so emotional.
Oh, they showed that this morning already in the morning news.
Of course, where he got so emotional. And now he's going to be, where does that got the schedule? He's going to be on with us later, by the way. Tom Skilling, later on this morning, talking about it all. Let me check my script for today's show.
It's on page 78.
You had it down in rehearsal. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, he did. Well, let's see. He's
way too many pages of this, I'll tell you that much. He's going to be in Makanda?
Yeah.
Where's Makanda? Is that near Carbondale?
Yes. Okay.
Because that's where I thought I heard he was going to be. He's going to be there. Demetrius Ivory is going to be in Cleveland. Mike Jansen will be at SIU in Carbondale. Mike Lowe will be at Adler Planetarium. Aaron Ivory is going to be doing some things. We've got, starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, WGN-TV got you covered with all this. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be as horizontal as possible and be watching on my television set.
Looking at the ceiling with your glasses on.
In my house?
The eclipse glasses on, yeah.
I actually put a shoebox on my head.
Oh, even better.
Didn't we used to do that back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember doing it in grade school.
The pinhole in the box.
The pinhole and the reflection or something.
Yeah, look at the image with your back to the sun. With it, so you it reflects through the hole pinhole in the box,
and then you see it.
You can see
it
on the sidewalk.
You see it on the wasn't it on the cardboard?
Or on the cardboard itself?
Like you stick your head in the box,
yeah, and then you could see it that way. Don't laugh. That's you're protecting your eyes.
I know. I just would like you to do the 11 o'clock news this morning with the box on your head.
Okay.
So you wanted to do the same news he's been doing
same thing
for 25 years, right?
Same thing you usually do with a box on your head. Yeah, that's going to be interesting tomorrow with all that.
Is that all you have to say about it? That's going to be interesting?
I felt like I had something else to say, but then...
And you know what,
Chicago... I did the box on your head, mm-hmm. I did the glasses.
Well, here's something interesting.
Yeah, really, I got nothing else on
here,
it.
Here's something interesting. We will have a total eclipse here in Chicago, but I really don't think we're going to be here for it, unless we're still doing the show. A 2099.
I am. I'll
you'll
still
be doing
be
the show.
Yep.
Oh, help us. 2099.
That's the next one?
A total eclipse for Chicago. Yeah. The next one is something like 20 years from now.
Wait,
25
what year?
Years.
What year?
2099.
That'll be 132. No big deal. Looking spry.
We'll have an AI version of everybody.
And now here's the far-flung forecast.
Get your old fangled devices together.
That old dump where we used to do the show.
So look up there now, boys and girls.
You know there's going to be people looking directly at the sun tomorrow.
Yeah.
Without any kind of protection. Or they'll put their sunglasses on or something. You got to have like special protection for this.
Yep.
Or you can get seriously damaged.
Permanent damage.
Permanent damage.
Which you will be seeing burns in your retina for the rest of your images of this for the rest of your life.
I'm looking forward to the darkness.
Well, it's going to get fairly dark, but not totally here. 90 to 95% totality, we will definitely know this. You know.
Don't the temperatures drop also?
A little bit. You could ask Tom about that. But the temperatures would drop because of, the sun being blocked out.
The sun is being blocked. Isn't that amazing, though, that just for those quick 4 minutes, they estimate temperatures drop between 5 and 10 degrees, which is significant, right,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. We're going to be in what's called the penumbra. Tom, down in southern Illinois, there will be in the umbra of the total portion of where they'll see the darkness.
Yeah. When you went to see it, what was it, 2016?
2017.
17?
Yeah.
Were there a lot of people there?
Oh, yes.
Because there are huge viewing
events. We were down, we were at SIU in Carbondale in the stadium, but we stayed in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is 40, 50 miles from Carbondale. We got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to drive down there. Because, well, one reason why is everybody was saying traffic was just going to be an absolute nightmare getting into the Carbondale area. But it wasn't. It didn't get really busy until later in the morning when everybody just kind of converged more or less at the last minute.
Yeah.
But I have to say, though, that was one of the most exciting things I've ever covered.
Really?
Oh, with all the everything, the energy going on, the anticipation of it, and then the actual moment that it happened. Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'd rather be a home eating potato chips.
I'm kind of with you on that.
Really, Andy, seriously. Watching a Bulls rally?
Yeah, I'd rather watch the Bulls rally.
A six-peat or watching it get dark for 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I remember having one happen during my grade school days. We did the shoebox thing, and I'm good.
So that's all you... Do you have the shoebox with you?
I do not.
You didn't bring it with
you?
No. You're bringing it in tomorrow?
It was for my pro kids way back in the day.
I don't know what happened to the glasses I had that I got for the last time this happened. I don't know. Lost them, or they're... They're in a box somewhere. I don't know where they are.
Somebody gave me... I have some at home. If you want them, you can have them.
Oh, well.
I'd be happy to sell them to you.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. He would never just let me have them.
Happy to let them go for $19.95.
There's a price. There's always a price.
Plus shipping and handling.
He's got a parking pass to go along with it.
You're right. Hallway pass. Yeah, or whatever. This correction just in, by the way, the robot from the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, not named Klaatu.
Not to Klaatu?
The robot was named Gort.
Gort. Okay.
And what was said to Gort was Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to be saying.
That's what you're going to be saying for the rest of the show now.
Yeah. I'm going to go stand in front of my house like a crazy guy. Standing there going, Klaatu
Barada Nikto.
Is that Latin for a total eclipse of the heart?
And then the neighbors are going to go, will you please close your robe, sir?
Shield your eyes from the sun and the neighbor.
I'll give you something to shield.
Glasses.
I'll give you something to shield your eyes. Dr. Smith Schwann.
Danger. Warning, Will Robinson.
The pain.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Dean, and good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses and protractors. We're going to a very special place. Dean, you actually made mention of the town we're headed to just a few moments ago. Makanda, Illinois.
Makanda,
Illinois. Yes. Population 547.
Yep.
And they have
548 with skilling there.
548, well, and 550 something with the rest of the crew.
Yeah, there. Producers. And
right. Makanda has a number of festivals going on. Of course, tomorrow, they're so close to Carbondale, they'll be the center of attention. But they also have a Makanda Spring Fest. Mm. It's an annual two-day event. And this is the one that I think we should do the show from. It's called the Makanda Vulture Fest. This is an annual really? Two-day event.
You had me at Vulture.
Vulture Fest.
You don't have to say anything more.
This is the third weekend in October that celebrates the migration of the black vulture and the turkey vulture to the
fantastic.
Reason.
Yeah.
But Makanda is indeed in the path of totality. Our own Tom Skilling is at Giant City State Park there, which is adjacent to Makanda, because it will be in the path of totality for tomorrow's eclipse. And by the way,
do they got a lot of vultures there now?
They may not, but you know, if
because, you know, if I see Skilling being carried off by some vultures.
Incidentally, Makanda, Illinois was also home to the late Senator Paul Simon.
Is that right?
Who had lived there, yes. But Makanda.
I loved when he was with Art Garfunkel.
They were good.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
That'll work for tomorrow. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I come to talk with you again.
Well,
within the sounds of
silence, Makanda, Illinois, in the path of totality, sunny skies today and tomorrow. It's a 53 now in Makanda for tomorrow, sunny skies and 77.
Solar Eclipse Eve. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, time for the Week in Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us. Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Doing very well. We've been talking about the solar eclipse tomorrow and how you shouldn't stare directly at the sun. Talk to us a little bit about what could happen if people ignore all of those warnings. What kind of health danger there could be at trying to, you know, view this directly?
Well, very simply, you could go blind and lose your vision. So I think it's pretty important to pay attention to what folks are saying about that. The rays from the sun basically go directly back into your retina and can burn the cells of your retina, which is essentially the movie screen of vision. And so it's really important.
Sounds like we've got our phone bug back. I recognize that evil sound anywhere. I haven't had that happen in a long time. Our phone ghost sometimes, knocks out guests that we're talking to on the telephone. So we'll reconnoiter here and get to Dr. Silver. But you heard him say, it couldn't be more plain. You could go blind if you look directly at the sun tomorrow during the eclipse. So, wear the necessary glasses, wear, you know, 2-3 pair if you can find them. They're in short supply right now. Or, you know, you do it, you know, through a reflection method. Or, you know, it's going to be all over television. So there's another opportunity to, you know, to watch it and still remain safe. Dr. Silver, before you got taken down by our phone ghost, you were talking about how looking at it could burn the retinas and you could lose your vision. Pick up, in there of what could happen, please.
Typically, you might not know it immediately, but slowly over time, the cells of the retina die, and within 12 to 48 hours, you'd be blind, and there's no coming back from that, at least not with today's technology. So there are things you can do, like simply watch the solar eclipse online or on television. NASA is going to be live streaming it. There are eclipse glasses available, as I've read, that are designed to protect the eyes. But I would be careful about buying those. You know, I would check with your eye doctor before you go ahead and put those on and then look directly at the sun. So there's other ways of doing it to keep yourself safe.
Yeah. What about the reflection method? We were, you know, kind of joking a little earlier about when we were kids, you'd get a shoebox and poke a hole in the shoebox, you know, so you could kind of reflect the images. Something like that. Is something like that safe to do?
Yeah. So you basically take a box, poke a hole on one side, put a piece of paper in it, a white piece of paper, and then poke another hole that you can see through. And the sun shines through the hole and reflects on the paper, and you can see the reflection. But it's purely a reflection of light as opposed to the actual rays of the sun.
Yeah.
And that's why that technology doesn't hurt the eye. So yes, an eclipse box is perfectly safe.
Okay. Now, is there something unusual about the effects of staring right at the sun during an eclipse? I mean, would the same thing happen if you stared at the sun on any other day?
It would. The thing is, nobody stares at the sun because it's bright, number one, and number two, I think we're all taught that it's dangerous to look directly at it. But I think there's a misconception that when there's an eclipse, somehow there's less light and it's less dangerous, but that's just not the case.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's a once-in-a-while phenomena, so people want to, you know, say that they saw it. I remember last time, I guess 2017, where we saw prominent people on television without any kind of eye protection whatsoever, staring directly at it, just completely ignoring all the warnings from health people and just staring directly at it.
And we never heard from them again.
So there you go. There you get. There's your warning right there.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. Take the necessary precautions. It's definitely not worth damaging your vision. Well, you know what I've been hearing about a lot all this week? More and more cases of measles and even tuberculosis cases popping up in the Chicago area. You know, these have been cases, I guess, where people have not been vaccinated, with migrants who have come into the Chicago area. But how interesting how quickly this is spreading. I guess you're probably not surprised if you know anything about it, as you do.
No, unfortunately not surprised. You know, given the sort of sagging of vaccination rates over the last few years, that pokes holes in the safety net, the public health safety net. And so we have vulnerable populations, and so unfortunately, that sort of disease that was once pretty much eradicated, not fully, but for the most part, is now active again. I've read there are 58 cases that have been reported. I will say that the Chicago Department of Public Health website indicates that they're providing free vaccines at the Department of Public Health to any child 0 to 18 and any uninsured adult 19 and older. So if you're having second thoughts about maybe getting that that vaccine for your kid or for yourself, you can go get it for free.
Yeah, or people who have, you know, come into this country who, you know, have not been following, you know, our health protocols here. Here's an opportunity to protect yourself and your children. from these diseases that we very definitely had under control. Are there visible signs of this? If, you know, somebody has been exposed to the measles, you know, for the rest of us, you know, in avoiding, I mean, how contagious are the measles or tuberculosis at this point for the general population?
Measles is extremely contagious. One of the most contagious diseases that you read about, maybe second to Ebola. They say that if you're in a room, if you have 10 people in a room with somebody with measles, 9 of them are going to be infected when they walk out of the room an hour later. It's just that it passes that quickly. And unfortunately, folks are infectious before they realize it. So maybe just a runny nose or even no symptoms at all. They're coughing or breathing these particles into the air, and then you breathe them in, and then you've got the disease. So it's very infectious. Now, TB, on the other hand, measles is a virus. TB is a bacteria that, for the most part, has been under control in the U.S., and it basically tends to blossom or spread in poorly ventilated, crowded areas. And so you think about the migrant shelters, and you've got ideal conditions for spreading of these types of infectious diseases.
Right. Yeah.
Now, there are antibiotics, whereas measles, there is no cure other than just your own immune system. In the case of TB, there are antibiotics that are available, but of course there are more and more antibiotic-resistant strains, so it's definitely concerning.
Yeah, protection against this would be the same kinds of protections that we took during the worst of COVID, since measles is airborne. Wearing masks, gloves, all that sort of thing, is that the correct protection for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the gloves, you know, as long as you're washing your hands with soap and water, that's probably just as effective as wearing gloves. But definitely the masks are going to help slow and reduce the spread of both diseases. Now, with TB and I think to measles, we would say the same thing. Those droplets can be very tiny, and so the N95 masks are really the most effective. But if you don't have an N95, then certainly just a regular face mask is better than nothing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, and if you start to not feel well, whatever, get to your physician, get checked out, because there are definitely some things going around right now that we're not around in these numbers, at least anyway, in the general population. So, you know, all I'm hearing about lately is AI, artificial intelligence, in a variety of fields and lots of different types of industry. I hear about it. I've been following it closely in entertainment, where performances are being replicated by computers, by artificial intelligence, but it's permeating everything. Learn about it, because it's here definitely to stay, and could affect us all greatly. In the healthcare fields, I'm curious how this could be helping us or hurting us in some way. I've heard that pharmaceutical companies now are also getting into AI, and for the life of me, I don't know how that could be applicable in the production of pharmaceuticals.
Sure, AI is it's definitely here to stay, and I think for those of us that grew up watching movies like The Terminator, science fiction has become reality. And I think in the case of healthcare, there's definitely opportunity for it to become a real positive. You mentioned pharmaceuticals. AI is simply using computer learning to enhance either research into disease or treatment. And so in the case of pharmaceuticals, you can vastly speed up the process of drug development, because you can run algorithms that would replicate things that you might do in the lab that would take months, you can do over a weekend with a series of very fast computers. So you can imagine that bringing a drug to market in the space of a year as opposed to 10 years, how that would both be beneficial for the company, but also for the end user, for the patient. And we see AI already being utilized in, for instance, in diagnostic radiology, where the human eye may not be able to catch subtle patterns that are present in, for instance, early cancer. So for mammography, where we use x-rays to diagnose abnormalities in breast tissue, the computer is looking at this and saying, no, wait a second, focus in on this one area here. I'm detecting a pattern. And the physician can then say, wow, you know, hey, here's something I didn't even see. You know, let's take a closer look with an MRI, or this is very concerning. I'm going to call their doctor. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to use this technology for good. But of course, in humankind, we tend to then muck things up and get excited and rush to try and take advantage of things. There's also the downside, which is, of course, the technology then kind of becomes smarter than the human and takes over. And I think that's the major concern with all of these technologies.
Yeah, that's what I've heard over and over and over again, that people who know a lot more about this than I do are fearing that these computers that you're talking about that speed up and assist the humans right now can you know, develop their own patterns of learning to where they do become smarter than the humans. You know, and who's to say that AI wouldn't become your personal physician, that a computer becomes your, you know, your personal physician and, you know, takes over your entire medical care? I don't think I would be comfortable with something like that.
Well, certainly folks of our era, Dean, I think would probably be hesitant. You wonder with the newer generation and their comfort with machines and machine learning and technology, how they're going to feel in 20 years when they grow up and go to college. But I share your concern. I think, you know, if you take the analogy of calculators, when we move from the slide rule, which my dad used in high school to calculate equations and math, to the calculator, you still have to check your work. And I think that's the key here, is that we still have to check these computers' work. You still need a human to say, well, wait a second, does this make sense? Does this square with what I'm seeing? Does this fit the clinical context? And do I agree? And I think those are the controls that need to be in place across any industry that this is being utilized in.
Yeah, I think, I mean, does anybody else feel uncomfortable when you go to, you know, Google something, you look up something on Google, and it's anticipating what it is that you're asking about, and suddenly you're flooded with ads and things about that very subject again. The computer is, it has sort of taken over your thinking process there. And
well, not just that, but you know, you see a video of a star like a Beyonce or a Justin Timberlake, and then you 2 minutes later somebody says, well, that's a deep fake. It's not really who you thought it was.
Well, right.
So you really have to question the information that's being put in front of you.
Yeah, well, there was a lawsuit that was settled this week with the estate of George Carlin. Somebody had created a video that talked like Carlin, sounded like Carlin, looked like Carlin, but was not Carlin. The family of George Carlin sued, and the case was settled out of court, and the video was taken out of circulation because it so closely replicated George Carlin, you know, completely through computer technology, which 100% creeps me out. Are there applications of AI in medicine now that are being used? I mean, I presume that computers are assisting in, you know, lots of different procedures that go on in hospitals and doctors' offices now.
There are, certainly in the radiology world. And then, of course, speech recognition to transcribe medical documents. So that's a job that a human used to have, and now a computer can handle it. There's a human that has to double check for errors, but my understanding is many companies are using that service, you know, across the board. So, you know, in oncology, for instance, you have AI aggregating all the latest studies to assist the physician. You know, there's so many drugs in the world of cancer treatment, and so many studies that are now available, and the the treatment for one patient might be just a little bit different than the next, even with the same disease. Maybe it's maybe the same age group, but their genetics are slightly different. And you simply can't stay on top of all that as a physician. And so you have these computer algorithms that help you say, oh, well, this person gets this particular tailored therapy, and this person gets a slightly different therapy. So, yes, it is being used currently.
So it sounds like you're leaning toward AI in medicine is a good thing, and healthcare is a good thing.
Well, I think it can be. I would say that I would embrace it cautiously, like anything else. There's an opportunity for it to become an augmentation to the physician. But like you say, if we start taking people out of the equation, that's when it gets a little dangerous and sketchy, in my opinion.
The 847 area code texts in a question for Dr. Jeremy Silver, asking, can you tell me about the health risks of vaping? I was in an elevator recently. A person got in, took out their vape cigarette, whatever those things are called now, the electronic cigarettes, and was vaping away. Is that safer or less safe than smoking cigarettes?
Well, I think that is a good question, and in some ways, yes, vaping is safer, certainly for the individual, in the sense that we don't see the same association of cancer at this point that we do with inhaled tobacco products, but you're still inhaling ultra-fine particles into the lungs. There are flavorants in these compounds that can cause lung disease, and we have seen patterns of disease in folks that vape. I'm not aware of the third party being affected, so secondary smoke, secondhand smoke. I'm not aware of secondhand vape illness, but then I don't know that we've studied people that live in houses where there's vaping occurring. Personally, I don't like inhaling secondhand vaping humors, if you will.
Yeah.
I think there's an opportunity for folks to get off of tobacco using these vaping products. We know that folks that vape are significantly less likely to then be going back to their tobacco products. But then you have you're still addicted to nicotine, and there's still an issue there. So to be continued.
Yeah, we will discuss this again. Dr. Jeremy Silver is an actual human being and not AI. He is the medical director of Emergency Medicine Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, have a great day today. Thank you.
Dean, take care. Thanks again.
Where is Alto Pass, you ask?
Chwani?
Hmm?
Where's Alto Pass?
Alto Pass is near Makanda, where our Tom Skilling is. Oh. They are also in the path of totality for tomorrow's eclipse. And I thought I would pass along that information. You seem so interested in
you
it.
You are very, very full of it today. Tom Skilling's been in Hawaii since he retired.
But he came back for this.
He came back for the total eclipse.
That's right. So we have to ask him how life is in Hawaii, though. You won't be able to see the eclipse there. That's
been
for
on
sure.
His Facebook. He posts several times a day of beautiful images from, I think he was on the Big Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is gorgeous.
Gorgeous and explaining weather patterns in Hawaii and, doing what Tom Skilling does.
Can I, he's going to be on later with us, right?
11 o'clock, just after 11
o'clock. Okay, can I ask him about weather patterns in Hawaii, why there's some of areas of an island where there's nothing but rain, and then you go on the other side of the island and it's beautiful sunshine.
Beautiful sunshine. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
When I retire, by the way, you're never going to hear from me again.
That doesn't surprise me either.
I will not be back 1 month after.
Okay.
That's the difference between a Tom Skilling
and I thought
and
you were going to do this, though, into perpetuity.
To retire?
No, the show. Because you said you were going to be here in 2020 or 2099 when we have the total eclipse.
Yeah.
We can watch it out from the windows here.
All right, okay.
Sure.
All right, I'll stay. If you insist.
Boy, you really are not excited about this, are you?
I am excited about it, but I'm not as excited as some people are.
Yeah, I'm excited for those who are excited.
Yeah. I think Andy and I are on the same page with
it's just another day to me.
It's very interesting. I'm going to be very interested to watch on television.
Yep.
What's going on the way God intended to watch it from a horizontal position while I'm eating some Bugles and onion dip, which were a delightful treat, by the way, last week. Thank you again for my lovely birthday gift.
Oh, you're welcome.
Of a bag of Bugles. Schwani went all out, a bag of Bugles and some
onion. I had to find them, too.
Onion dip and sour cream, and we had a little Bugle party here last week.
We did. Yeah. Mara very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, was it delicious?
Is it all, everything's gone now?
I would certainly hope so, but by now, if I know my food laying around a radio station, it will be consumed,
yes.
It's possible it's laying out someplace.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah. But, see, that's the way I'm going to enjoy the eclipse tomorrow. Horizontal, eating onion dip, bugles or, you know.
Maybe. Have your glasses on.
Well, I'm going to be inside.
Inside, yeah.
You should wear them. Wear them. You never know. There could be sunlight that could creep underneath your blinds there.
Leaks in?
Yes.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do.
I don't want you calling me. And, you know, Schwani, saying, you know, what happened?
Schwani, walk me to the store.
I need more Bugles.
Don't call me.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. After the show today, I'm going to go get a roll of duct tape and duct tape my eyes for the next few hours and see how that works out. You've been watching Backstory on WGN-TV. You have dug into some really, really interesting stories that Larry Potash, who you know from our WGN-TV morning news, tirelessly puts together with producers and our photojournalist, Mike D'Angelo, and many more people working behind the scenes to put these shows together. And the 14th season of Backstory will kick off tonight. New episodes begin Sunday nights at 6:30 on WGN-TV. And Larry is on the line with us right now to give us a little preview. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
What's a Larry Potash Sunday morning like?
It's catching up on a lot of reading that I do for Backstory and other things. It's quiet. Quiet Sunday of reading. That's what I do.
How many Bloody Marys would you say that you've pounded down so far today?
No, you know what? I'm not a big drinker. I've never been a big drinker.
I know that. Yes.
One beer and I turn into Crazy Larry.
He does. That's very true. That's morning show legend from back in the day when we were young enough to go out after the show. How much fun do you have putting these together? I mean, these are like really interesting, serious stories that I know so much work goes into putting these stories together, but it's got to be tremendous fun digging into some of these topics that you dig up.
Yeah, I'm catching up on all the stuff I was supposed to learn in high school and college and didn't. because, you know, when you're taking those multiple choice quizzes in history, there really is no surprise element. Unfortunately, I don't think we use enough storytelling to teach kids or adults about history. And so as I go through these ideas I have or these stories I have, I look for the mystery and the surprise. Because I think that's what makes good storytelling, and I really was not compelled to watch the History Channel's presentation of Hitler's UFOs and all that other crazy nonsense, and I just wanted to convey real history of America and beyond to people, because I think it's important.
Yeah, where do you get these topics? I mean, are these things that you and the producers come up with, or are these things that are suggested by people who contact you?
Yeah. More and more people are suggesting things, which are great, and I do follow up on a lot of them. Some of the, you know, historical events tend to be my stories. And Mike D'Angelo, a lot of the stories we do, or some of the stories we do that are concept or object-based, like he had the idea of tonight's episode, which was marijuana. And we didn't know what the history of marijuana was, and we went and looked at it, and I found some surprises throughout history that I didn't think people knew. And so we decided to pursue that.
Interesting. So what are you going to be talking about with the history of marijuana on tonight's season opener?
So we always look for a contemporary element to bring the history, you know, more into the present. And as you know, marijuana is legal in some states, but it's hard for some people to get licenses. It's very expensive. And we talked to Vic Mensa, who is a music star, who talks about the struggles of certain groups trying to get licenses. But when we go back in time, we realize that when prohibition was repealed, the feds say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? We got all these agents with their guns, and we need something, we need a reason to exist. And they demonize marijuana with this propaganda campaign. You may remember Reefer Madness, but it began long before Reefer Madness. So it was really kind of interesting that even despite the government's own studies, they decided to hold up marijuana as the boogeyman. And so it was just kind of interesting.
Yeah, when I heard that you were doing a story on this, I remember the movie Reefer Madness, which is hilarious to watch it.
Yeah.
But also, I remembered a Cab Calloway song, Have You Ever Met the Funny Reefer Man? it's like a big band Cab Calloway song. It was like maybe 1934, where he sings about people smoking the reefers back then. So
they associated marijuana with African American jazz artists and Mexican people, and they said, "Watch out, people! You know, this is dangerous, and we can't trust these people."
Yeah.
So it's pretty fascinating. And Vic Mensa talks about just the role of marijuana in his creativity, and that's not to say that marijuana is completely harmless, as some people may think. We also look into the science behind it, which there isn't a lot.
Interesting. Well, what else do you have coming up tonight?
Tonight, you may recall the blockbuster movie Killers of the Flower Moon. I did a backstory on the real-life events of that a couple of episodes ago. But Scorsese needed some old-fashioned movie sound effects for a scene in that movie, and he found a guy in Chicago, and the guy said, yeah, I'll do it, but why don't you put me in the movie? Because I know how to use these things, and he did.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of a cool little story.
All right, very cool. And now, in addition to you diving into the marijuana, you're also going to be diving into whiskey and Chicago's role in the history of American whiskey.
It tells you about the kind of year I've had.
Yeah. Well, I see you and D'Angelo apparently have been doing quite a bit of research together.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Whiskey has been there from the beginning, and we kind of talk about the history of America through whiskey and how it shaped it and where we are today. And obviously, there's the mobster element to it, and in the early days, whiskey was currency. Some of these farmers use whiskey as currency to trade for other things, and there are very famous people, huge in the liquor industry, that you've never heard of because they didn't put their names on the whiskey bottles. And in many cases, the stories associated with whiskey are just totally made up. It's part of the whiskey world that you got to have a story with the label. And so we kind of you break all that down.
Very, 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 very interesting. Backstory now is Sunday nights at 6:30, which I love. It's a great time to sit down and watch this. And
6:30 and 11.
Yeah, okay, 6:30 and 11. You can watch it on WGN TV, but also you can live stream it on the WGN Plus app on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Samsung Smart TVs, on WGNTV.com/live, and also the WGN News mobile app. As you can see, we've made it super easy to find it in
lots of
different ways. Backstory is tonight at 6:30. Can't wait to watch. I'm really interested in digging into that marijuana story. So,
yeah, thank you, Dean. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll check that out. And I'll see you tomorrow morning.
See you tomorrow morning, Dean. Thank you.
Good deal. There's Larry Potash. Okay, so, you know, with all this talk and the story that he's going to do, I remember back in college, you know, we thought we were so subversive that, you know, we found this song from the 1930s on the college radio station. Oh, there's a song about marijuana. Let's be crazy and play it. And it was the legendary Cab Calloway doing a legit song called Reefer Man. Here we go.
The Reefer?
How about that? That song. That song is 90 years old. It was first recorded in 1934. Schwani, had you ever heard that?
No,
I hadn't. Cab Calloway song?
I had not heard that.
Cab Calloway, Reefer Man.
The funny Reefer Man.
It's that. Have you ever heard that funny Reefer Man? the great and legendary Cab Calloway. You know, the Heidi Ho man.
Oh, yeah, from the Blues Brothers.
From the Blues Brothers. Exactly right. And speaking of, by the way, Dan Aykroyd, one of the original Blues Brothers, is going to be in the Chicago area in the Oak Brook area tomorrow. He's going to be out at, again, let me refer to the pages of our script on today's show. Well, we chopped down a lot of trees for today's show.
And we can tell.
Just a second. At Wonderverse in Oak Brook Center, tomorrow night from 5 to 8 p.m., Dan Aykroyd himself will be there to talk about his new movie, the Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and also his Crystal Head Vodka. Guess they're going to be mixing a few cocktails out there. Have you ever seen his vodka? It comes in a bottle shaped like a skull.
Huh.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi that did Blues Brothers here in Chicago. It featured Cab Calloway, you know, as a famous part of that motion picture. I did a Zoom chat with Dan Aykroyd last week, and we're going to share that with you coming up around 11:30 this morning. And Bob Surratt's going to be talking with Dan Aykroyd tomorrow morning at 9:40 also, by the way. So we have got plenty of Dan Aykroyd for you this morning. And when we come back, we're going to get into the weekend theater next. Getting all kinds of interesting stories because we're talking about Larry Potash's backstory and the story that he's going to have on the history of marijuana, Chicago's role in all of that. Tonight at 6:30 and 11 is when Larry's backstory show will be on the air. But we were talking about that. We played that Cab Calloway song. Have you ever met the Funny Reefer Man?
That's a pretty cool song, actually.
Right? I'm going to have that in my head all day. We thought we were like the most subversive college students ever.
Yeah.
When a buddy of mine, Pete, found this song. Hey, check out this song. It's about reefer. We're like, ooh. Oh, my.
Do you remember the movie Reefer Madness that they were showing in the 70s?
Well, Larry said that that's going to be part of his story tonight, the Reefer Madness story. That was hilarious.
It was. Everybody was. You showed that in the theater, and we were laughing hysterically.
But people have been sending me stories about musicians and marijuana, and apparently, as the story goes, back in the early 1950s, Louis Armstrong, the great Satchmo himself, Louis Armstrong, was traveling to the Soviet Union, and he couldn't figure out how to get his weed through customs. So what he did was he put it in his trumpet case. Or cornet, I guess, technically is what it was. He puts it in the trumpet case and gives it to then Vice President Richard Nixon to carry through customs. So Richard Nixon was his reefer mule.
Oh my God!
According to legend. Wow. and now you can go right down the street and buy some
hence,
if you want.
Hence the line, I am not a crook.
Maybe why he was talking to some of the pictures on the walls of the White House.
Could be.
Back in the day. Yeah. Isn't that funny, the like how demonized it was at one time?
Oh, yeah.
And now literally you can walk on any street anywhere and walk in and buy whatever marijuana. I guess there's some restrictions. I've never actually been in a dispensary.
Nor have I.
Yeah. Maybe we should do the show from a dispensary. One of the greatest songs ever recorded, in my opinion. Carole King's You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman from the Amazing Tapestry album, one of the many songs that is performed during the Tony Award-winning musical Beautiful, the Carole King musical, which is coming to the Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora. I cannot wait to see this show. I've seen it several times, but you know, the Paramount always knocks it out of the park with their productions of some of these great shows. And if you have not seen it yet, oh my gosh, you're in for a night of the music that is probably the soundtrack to your youth. You learn about Carole King from a songwriter in Brooklyn to making a name for herself, not only as a songwriter, but for as a singer herself, and her rise to superstardom with songs like That, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, to So Far Away, and It's Too Late, and I Feel the Earth Move. The list goes on and on. You will sit there with some of the songs going, I didn't know Carole King wrote that song. I learned a lot, actually, when I first saw the production. It's tremendous, and it's coming to the Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora, and we are going to be doing our next Dean's Night Out at the Paramount to see the show and have a little pre-show reception beforehand. That's going to be on May the 5th, and you can get tickets by going to wgnradio.com/contests. Can enter to win two tickets to the performance and the special pre-show reception as well. So get on wgnradio.com/contest, enter, and hopefully you will be joining me for that special night. What else do we have going on in theater right now? The four-season show, Jersey Boys, that is over at the Mercury Theater on North Southport in Chicago, opening to rave reviews. People are absolutely loving it. It's already the show. They've extended the show. That's one of the shows I think is going to be here in the Chicago area for quite a while. So if you're a fan of the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, put that on your to-do list. Also, the show, which just opened this week, The Choir of Man. We had the nine-voice choir here in studio with us, what was it, a week or two ago, something. They came in and performed, also opening to rave reviews. That's over at the Apollo Theater Center on North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. Also this week, they just announced the 2024-2025 season at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. And yes, of course, A Christmas Carol is on the list, as you might expect. I mean, that's always going to be there. But they are also looking at a production in the fall, excuse me, called Inherit the Wind, which is the 1955 play about the 1925 Scopes monkey trial. And, you know, they are working on casting right now. But that has a WGN connection. The Scopes monkey trial was the first trial to be broadcast live. And that was over WGN radio. So it's got a little bit of, Chicago history as well. Also, there's going to be a production of Harold Pinter's Betrayal, which will star Helen Hunt. Oscar-winning actress Helen Hunt is going to be starring in that production and will be at the Goodman Theater. for that production as well. Now, you can get a lot more information if you go to goodmantheater.org. All the shows, all the dates, everything is listed there for you. And when we come back, I wanted to talk about the one of the shows, which is currently over at the Steppenwolf Theater, that has just been extended, directed by Felicia Rashad. Harry Lennox, the legendary Chicago actor, is involved in it. We'll talk with one of the actors who is in this production, who also happens to be the artistic director of Steppenwolf. We will be talking with Glenn Davis when we come right back. Our weekend theater segment continuing in just a moment. We'll talk about the Steppenwolf's extension of the production, the world premiere, actually, of this play called Purpose, which is directed by Felicia Rashad, who you know from the old Cosby Show, of course, Claire Huxtable from the Cosby Show. Harry Lennox also starring in the show, one of you know, one of our great Chicago actors, who not only is involved in productions on television and in the motion pictures and this production over at the Steppenwolf, but also involved in starting his own theater, performing arts center in the Bronzeville neighborhood to try to, as he put it to me, create a Steppenwolf for the south side of Chicago, which is terrific, giving back for young people who might not otherwise have an opportunity to get on a stage and, you know, and do some special things. So we are connecting with the artistic director of the Steppenwolf, Glenn Davis, as we speak. And the moment that we have him on the phone line, we will. Can you tell that I'm a patty here? Somebody should play some tap dance music right now, because that's major what I'm doing.
You're doing it well.
I should have my tap shoes on right now. Yes, it's another Sunday morning guest who didn't answer the phone when he was supposed to. So hopefully we'll get him up in a few minutes. If not, Andy, I'm going to have you tell me about this production.
Okay.
Over at
the, you got it.
The Steppenwolf. Yeah, so anywho, that's what's going on with that. We'll get to that. Let me tell you about some things that are coming up on the show later on, and if necessary, for the rest of the year. Depends on how much time I have to kill.
How you doing in there, Dean?
Right, well, I've broken out into a sweat.
Has Drew Carey called yet?
Yeah, I'm having my own total eclipse right now. Somebody put on their sunglasses. I'm having my own total eclipse.
You know what, though? May I take a minute? And you were talking about the production of Beautiful.
Yeah.
We saw the show at the Marriott Lincoln. Highly recommend that show.
That the production that they did out at the Marriott was...
that was just great.
Spectacular. And I won't take anything away from the performers. They were great. But sort of, how do you... How do you not have a major home run with the music?
With that music in and of itself, yeah.
I mean, if that's, I mean, it is a jukebox musical. It is. It's a song about the music of and career and life of Carole King. How do you miss with that amazing life, those amazing songs, that amazing person? How do you miss with something like that?
Right. I mean, a very interesting life story to go along with music that you've known all your life.
Now, did you, like me, sit there a couple of times while watching this show going, I didn't know Carole King wrote that song?
Yes.
There's a bunch of songs that other artists had, particularly in the early 60s, you know, the early part of her career when she was a songwriter, that, you know, the others, the Drifters and the, like many others, you know, performed and had big hits with. But it was Carole King that, you know, was behind those.
Behind all of those, yeah. And you know, when you well remember when the Tapestry album came out.
Oh, yeah.
The early 1970s with It's Too Late on it and I Feel the Earth Move. I was, I don't know, 15, 16 at the time. I thought she was a new singer that was on the know on the way up and getting started and doing very well. I had no idea she had written all those songs.
Turns out
20 years earlier, right. 15 out, years yeah, earlier.
Very prolific songwriter who really got a break by having this solo album that turned out to be one of the biggest selling albums of all time.
That was the biggest selling album of the year.
I could see myself with my Blacklight posters, you know, in my room, playing my Tapestry album. burning incense with my lamb chop sideburns. Oh, this song. Oh, man, this album is so far.
Were you wearing your Beatle wig at the time?
No,
you,
no.
I didn't have that.
No, it was the 70s. I was past the
mic. You were past that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did have the lamb chop sideburns.
I had them, too. Yeah. I did, too. Parted the hair in the middle.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Yeah. Now, I know.
You hippie freak. Hippie, get a haircut. I can't believe your dad let you do that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Your dad was a pretty straightaway
yes.
kind of guy. He let you grow your hair long?
Not very long. I mean, not shoulder length or anything like that, but maybe longer than he and my mother might have preferred.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't out of control. No. No.
I would get this a lot back in the 70s from my parents. You going to get a haircut soon? And mine was never like super long either, but... I would say like John Denver-y long.
Man, mine wasn't even that long. My grandmother made some sort of a remark.
This is the longest tap dancing we've ever done.
But my grandmother said something about, don't you have enough money for a haircut?
Or something
like that. Yeah.
That's a nice way to put it.
But
I was mostly proud of my lamb chop sideburns, which I think we have a couple of pictures on WGNTV.com. We've shown those pictures. My high school, my senior, graduation pictures. I've got a nice suit on.
You have them there.
Yeah. I've got a nice suit on and everything.
Oh, yeah. We all wore a coat and tie. Yeah, had the pictures taken. Sure.
But my head is turned slightly, like any good high school graduation picture ought to be. And you can see the lamb chops on there.
All right. We have to look this up.
Internet, do your thing.
Yep.
What has happened to my head in all those years?
I've wondered that for the last 43 years now. Oh, wow. It's going to be 43 years in a couple months.
That I've known you?
Mm-hmm.
And every minute's been, 1 minute's been, 1 minute's been greater than the next, hasn't it? I've known you for 43 years.
It's 43 years in June, yes. Yes.
You know what I just realized this morning? I stopped in the newsroom.
Let's see. We have 3.5 minutes to fill. Keep going.
Oh, it's almost 11 o'clock. We do have another break. I just noticed for the first time that I've known you that that you're left-handed like I am.
Oh, we've brought that up before.
I've never left-handed. Never noticed it this morning.
No, I am.
I like to stop in the newsroom before the show.
And disrupt the proceedings.
Disrupt whatever it is that you're doing. I like to say hi to Andy. I like to say hi to Jess. You're there, so I have to say hello to you. I can't exactly ignore you. But you were pretending like you were working on something. And I was like, oh, Shawnee's a southpaw like me.
I am. Yep.
Never knew that.
Yep, I am.
All right.
I was never forced to try to be right-handed.
Oh, we have talked about that.
But you've talked about that, how they tied you up.
How they tied me up and restrained me. And authority figures have been doing that ever since.
And they will tomorrow, too, to keep you from...
Hey, well, listen, thank you for joining us, Shawnee, from the
Steppenwolf
Theater.
Oh, you're quite welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah, it's time for a break. That Steppenwolf Theater, which we probably won't be talking about on the show ever again, is Pomona in the path?
It is very near the path of totality, yes.
The path of totality. You've got me scared now about... the sun, accidentally leaking into my eye.
You say you're going to be horizontal.
I'm going to be horizontal.
With duct tape over your eyes. That should help.
I'm duct tape.
That should help.
I thought of something else, too. I thought, is it safe if I wear a welder's helmet tomorrow? Is that okay?
That would be good, yes. The kind that Gomer wore on Andy Griffith when he had to cut Barney out of the safe in the bank, right?
You're so weird. Yes, exactly.
I'm drawing an analogy here.
Now, did he have a helmet or didn't he just have goggles?
No, he had a helmet on. He had one of those big helmet things.
That's what I want. I want a helmet.
And he said, this ain't like cutting a mashed fender.
God.
I'm just trying to draw an analogy here, that's all.
Yes, you have. And we have gone a whole show without a single Andy Griffith mention.
Not now.
So that's a drinking game that a lot of people have on Sunday mornings. When the Andy Griffith mentions start, take a shot. Whatever you're having for breakfast. Andy, did you make predictions for the NCAA games?
I did not, no.
Women's Iowa and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Today at 2.
Today at 2 o'clock. I would love to see Caitlin Clark go out of champ, but intriguing that South Carolina is just trying to become the 10th program in history to go perfect through a season. They're 37-0.
Yeah, that would be something if that
happened. There's a couple good storylines right there.
Okay. Does that mean that you think that they'll win?
I think South Carolina will win, yeah.
And is it UConn tomorrow?
UConn tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
UConn, what I've seen so far, they're a 6.5-point favorite early line.
What would Gomer Pyle say about all this, Shawnee?
Shazam!
Well, I don't know about your hearts, but we will have a total eclipse. As you know, the solar eclipse of the heart, I guess you might say, tomorrow. We have got you covered with total eclipse coverage that will be taking place here on WGN Radio. WGN TV, we've got special programming that is lined up for you tomorrow, starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My pals Dina Bear and Patrick Elwood will be anchoring the coverage with the full weather team that will be at different locations along the Shawnee, what do we call it? The path? Is it just the path? Is that...
Yes, the path of totality, or also known as the umbra.
What's the umbra mean?
The umbra. That is the darkest part of the path, the umbra. We will be here in Chicago in the penumbra, secondary area.
What does that mean?
Not as dark.
Not as dark. That's right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Of course, you won't know because you'll have duct tape over your eyes.
And a welder's helmet.
And a welder's helmet on.
Thank you, by the way. I'm surprised at how many people have pictures of themselves with welder's helmets on that they have texted to me. It is a very smart fashion look.
You look like the robot on the day the earth stood still.
You look like the robot on the day the earth stood still, but... it looks a little like Devo, you know. Like,
yes, like, oh, yes.
Yeah. It looks very. I don't exactly know where you go to get a welder's helmet, but can I get one?
Some industrial. You could probably buy one online these days.
No, I need one for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait.
Some industrial supply store will have them.
Is there a place called Welder's Helmet R Us?
There should be.
That's what I want. I want the smart welder's helmet look for tomorrow.
Go to a big box store. They'll have them.
We'll have the complete coverage tomorrow. We've got the entire weather team from WGN-TV who will be at different locations. And, ladies and gentlemen, to really make the coverage special...
Welcome back.
We're welcoming back the great Tom Skilling for the coverage. We only thought you retired, Tom, but apparently, you just can't keep a good man down, apparently.
No, you know, Dean, that was the shortest retirement in American broadcast history right now, you know?
That's right. That's right.
I'm coming back to this is a special purpose return right here, but Dean, we're down to 300 miles south of you in a campground near Carbondale, Illinois. And I'll tell you something. This is an interesting place to be. Do you know they figure more than 1 million people have flooded into this area? Every campground spot, every hotel room is full down here.
Oh, my gosh.
And we've been taking in some of the the flavor, and it's just amazing. We're told that some of these even modest hotel rooms went for $750 for a night.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is
so
amazing.
Now, it really is. And, you know, Dean, it's amazing how many people from the Chicago area are down here. We've run into folks from Crystal Lake, from Aurora, from Chicago proper. One couple from Crystal Lake had moved to Montana, and they came in. They were here for the 2017 eclipse. And so I'll tell you, it is really interesting. We're in two campers here, the whole WGN crew, and I've got the whole group here, Eric Arndt, Mike D'Angelo, Catherine Zink, our producer, and Steve Schur.
Oh, that's,
you know all these folks.
That is a motley crew. And, that is a motley crew. You're stuck in those campers.
Let me tell you, Southern Illinois will never be the same again after all of us get done.
Yeah. Tom, well, I can hear the excitement in your voice with this. I mean, what does this mean to you to be able to witness this, to be, you know, you famously... You know, that footage of you getting emotional at the last one, you know, went viral. It went worldwide. What does this mean to you to be part of being able to witness this?
Dean, I'll tell you something. I never expected to respond like I did. There was a beautiful article that appeared in the New York Times ahead of it from a woman, Helen McDonald was her name. And she wrote about the fact that she thought when she approached seeing her first full total eclipse, solar eclipse, that she thought it was something she ought to do quietly in solitude. And she said, boy, I am totally wrong. She reported collapsing to her knees and crying upon seeing it. Dean, it's like, I don't know, emotional overload. Everything changes in the 5 minutes that you go from day to night at the moment of totality, which will occur here tomorrow, weather permitting, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And even in Chicago, while it won't be a total eclipse, you'll have about 94% of the disk of the sun blocked by the moon. Down here, it'll be 100%. And I'll tell you, colors change. Reds turn dark. Lighter colors like green and yellow turn bright. Shadows change. You see literally such detail in the shadows. You can see human hairs, the human hairs showing up. There's just the local critters change. The nocturnal creatures think, day's come, so they go quiet. And they come alive during the darkness of night coming on in 5 minutes' time, while the daytime critters go quiet because they think, oh, nighttime's come, it's time to go to bed. So at every level, your senses are affected. And so, you know, a lot of people hear all this discussion about coverage of this and think, wow, this is, you know, just hype and it's overload. No, it's a life-changing event. And, you know, one of our Adler Planetarium astronomers put it well, Michelle Maya Nichols. She said, she warned everybody coming down here, don't be busy with your iPhones trying to take pictures. You're going to find, you know, all kinds of pictures taken by professional photographers that are better than any of us can take on iPhones.
Right.
She said, skip the iPhones and take in what's going on around you. And this Helen McDonald, who said she thought it should be done in solitude, says, I was wrong. She's now seen three total eclipses. She said the best way to see it, it was with a crowd, because you literally are buoyed by the reaction of the people all around you. And I found that true in 2017.
Right.
You know what's interesting, Dean? Down here, there's McCalla is the little town of 600, where the path of totality from 2017 will be also the path of totality this year. That's something that happens in a single spot only once every 375 years. And it's a little town of 600. We visited it last night. They have musicians out playing. Oh. There are NASA people here, Adler Planetarium people, all kinds of folks who have driven in to see this.
I can only imagine.
It's going to be something.
Yeah,
it really is.
I can only imagine. Now, you know, meteorologically speaking, because of this, also the temperature will drop, won't it? For that short period, the covering of the sun has that effect.
It does. In 2017, the temperature in Carbondale dropped from 90 degrees. It was unforgivably hot, down to 84 in 25 minutes. There were temperature drops as high as much as 11 degrees in Wyoming, 8 degrees Denver, Colorado, Huntsville, Alabama. These were all areas under totality in 2017, lost 11 degrees. And believe me, Dean, it was so hot. That was an August eclipse. This is an April eclipse this year. It was so hot. We actually had equipment in our satellite truck that was, fading on us.
Yeah.
It was just so hot. It's lovely and cool. We'll have 70s tomorrow. It was actually cool last night. We're all in RVs here, and we had heavy blankets on, and we were actually chilly.
Interesting.
But it's warmer today and kind of partly sunny, and the current forecast is for about 31% of the sky to be cloud-covered. That's not perfect, but we had a forecast of 35% coverage in 2017, and we still saw the eclipse. The problem is one errant cloud can mess up, go over the face of the sun during totality when the moon is moving in front of the disk of the sun. But when it happens, you'll see the whole disk of the sun disappear. The planets will come out. The stars will come out. Nighttime critters will start singing, birds and so forth. And it's really surreal what happens during that.
Yeah,
and we've got to realize what a speck of the universe all of us are.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I hesitated to say it because it's I didn't want to make it sound too out there. But it is a rather spiritual moment, isn't it? You get a sense of that we are just a part of the solar system, and we're just a part of nature as well, experiencing this phenomenal moment. And we're doing it we've got our entire crew is going to be spread out watching this.
Demetrius Ivory's in Cleveland. We have Mike Lowe will be there in Chicago following the eclipse progress there. We have Mike Jansen, who will be close by here in Carbondale. And then we're down here with the crew in the campground about 15 miles south of Carbondale. It's exactly where we were in 2017, and it turned out at that time to be the perfect place to review it. This campground, Dean, and every other one in the area is packed. There is no more room. If you're not down here, don't come.
That's amazing.
Because there are no hotel rooms. There's nowhere to stay. And if you're driving an RV, there's nowhere to stay. We passed on the five-hour drive down here, the 300-mile trip yesterday, all kinds of southbound RVs, and I was looking at the license plates on them. We have people here from Montana and even from Europe in this campground right here. So it's a celestial event, and all kinds of people are here with families and all around grills and all. It's quite a scene.
Tom, are we going to be able to see things in the sky, meaning like constellations, stars, planets, things that we normally do not get to see?
What will happen, Dean? We may even see a comet. And another thing, the moon is closer to us than it was during the 2017 eclipse. That means the shadow it casts on Earth is going to be about 60% bigger than the one 2017. Another thing that's happening, we were near what's called the solar minimum. It was a very quiet period on the sun. Every 11 years, it turns more active. We're near the solar maximum this time. So when the disk of the moon covers the sun, you'll see the corona around the edges of it. That's the atmosphere of the sun. And we have a fighting chance, since it's a solar maximum, of seeing one of these solar flares coming out. Another thing that happens, Dean, is the shadows. All the leaves cast shadows, and between them, you'll see little projections of the disk of the sun, because you're not under any circumstances to look directly at the sun, except with one exception. That's at the moment of totality when the disk of the moon goes over it. And it will not totally do that in Chicago. You can wreck your vision in literally seconds looking directly at the sun.
Yeah.
So you've got to remember not to do that. You've got to look through special glasses and all the rest of this kind of stuff. But you'll see to the left of the sun, Mars and Jupiter and Saturn will come out, and to the right of it, you'll see to the right of it, and there could be the comet between the disk of the sun and Jupiter on the right side of the sun in areas of totality. So we'll see if we can see that or not. But you can see it with your eyes at that point.
I can't wait to see your coverage on all of this. I can sense your enthusiasm and how excited you are to be there again and be experiencing it all.
Dean, one other thing.
Yeah.
One other thing to mention. There's widespread coverage. Do you know that Major League Baseball teams who have games in the area of totality are going to have NASA people throwing out the first pitches? The Indianapolis Motor Speedway is hosting an eclipse viewing event. Krispy Kreme Donuts has introduced a special solar eclipse donut. NASDAQ in New York is going to put up on their screen tomorrow in Times Square and add, you know, a video of the eclipse occurring. Even the Girl Scouts have had troop projects where they're educating all the Girl Scouts around the area of totality about what they're going to see and not see and so forth during it. So there's a lot of excitement on so many levels about this this whole event tomorrow. Well, and it will take place. We'll be on the air live on WGN from 1 until 2:30 with multiple locations covered.
Yep.
We're also going to report on the 9 o'clock news tonight, and we'll be on with you in the morning show tomorrow.
Oh, good.
We're going to cook breakfast around the campfire down here tomorrow and report to you what's going on with the crew and whether we're keeping Steve Scherer, Mike D'Angelo, Catherine in line around here so that we're not embarrassing the station.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, good luck with that.
And Eric Arndt is down here, too.
Tom, I got to tell you, we're out of time, but I got to tell you how much I've been enjoying the photos and videos that you've been posting on Facebook from where you've been the last few weeks on, I think, the Big Island, right, in Hawaii?
Yeah. Dean, have you ever been out there, Dean, to the Big Island in Hawaii?
Just very briefly doing some interviews once. I have to come and spend some time, especially after seeing everything that you've posted. It looks just like absolute paradise there.
It's amazing. And lots of Chicagoans out there, Dean. A lot of folks. I was out there for about 4 weeks from the point of retirement. I flew back on the red eye to be here and travel down with our crew to Carbondale for the eclipse. But, Dean, definitely go back.
Don't tell me our phone line just jumped out with Tom Skilling. Oh, no, it did. Anyway, we're late anyways. But there's Tom Skilling. He's back. He's going to be on the air, as you heard him say, starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow on WGN-TV. Full coverage with the entire weather team, the entire WGN news team covering the big eclipse tomorrow. I cannot wait to see him on the air. Doesn't he sound like a little kid right before Christmas time?
Right on Christmas morning.
Oh, my gosh. That was so great to hear his voice. Anyway, we'll have full coverage for you on WGN radio and TV all tomorrow. There you go. Some great old memories.
Come on.
From the Blues Brothers movie from 1980, believe it or not. Can't believe it's that many years ago that Jake and Elwood hit the big screens. After several appearances on Saturday Night Live, this big screen movie that was made right here in Sweet Home Chicago took over the box office, and all of these great songs became huge hits on the radio. John Belushi, of course, and the great Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd back in the Chicago area tomorrow. He is going to be out in the Oak Brook area at the Oak Brook Center's Wonderverse, which is called an immersive entertainment experience. I have not seen it yet, but I'm also going to be out there tomorrow, and we're going to talk with Dan Aykroyd again tomorrow. We did a Zoom interview with him last week, which I'm about to play for you in a minute. But tomorrow I'll catch up again with Dan, and we'll learn a little about this Wonderverse entertainment experience. He's going to be out there to talk about his new movie, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which I gave a good review. I thought it was really fun. First Ghostbusters movie in a long time that I really enjoyed. So we're going to talk about that. Dan was one of the first celebrities to have an alcohol product. A lot of people do now. A lot of celebrities have tequila, you know, lines and so forth. He has Crystal Head Vodka. It's a very, I got to say, very tasty vodka. And comes in a bottle which looks like a skull, which I think a lot of people find very amusing. So the great Dan Aykroyd back in the Chicago area tomorrow. He is, you know, going to be talking about the movie, going to be talking about this Wonderverse. We had the opportunity to talk with him about his amazing career, these amazing movies, when we sat down on a Zoom chat with the legendary Dan Aykroyd.
Thank you. I always love coming back to Chi-Town, especially in the spring when the wind is not so icy on the beach. And so we're doing a couple of great things. We're going to the Sony Wonderverse to share some vodka and to see the Ghostbusters exhibit. And then we're playing at the Shed, I think it is. The band is playing there. That's always fun for me. But feel very at home in the city. It's my adopted American city. It was where I got my green card, my first working permit. and so, you know, to go back there and just see people again that I remember and that remember me is fun.
Yeah. So was that around the Blues Brothers period that you got your green card, or Second was it City. even before that? Oh, when you were at Second City?
Yeah, I got my H-1, I should say, my first H-1 permit in Chicago when I was working for Second City in the summer of 1974. We swapped companies. The Toronto company went up, came to Chicago. Chicago company went up to Toronto. And so I got my working permit there. Yeah.
So who else came down with you from Toronto?
Gilda Radner came down, and we had Joe Flaherty and Brian Murray in our show, and Gilda Radner and Eugene Levy came down and Catherine O'Hara. Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of people whose careers really never took off, unfortunately.
No, they did okay.
I'm telling you what. And the sad news, I hope I'm not breaking this news to you, that about Joe Flaherty passing away today. Just such sad news, and what great memories and entertainment that he left us. I mean, I'm sad that he's gone, but I will forever smile when I think of all of his characters and all of the work that he left us.
Well, yes, not only was he a beautiful performer, a writer and comic actor and character actor in his own right, he was such an influence on that generation of Second City performers. He was my teacher. He was Gilda's teacher, Candy's teacher, Murray's teacher. All of the kids who came out of that era were taught by Joe Flaherty and Del Close. And Joe was, had just great instincts and was one of the greatest instructors I've ever had. And everyone, he was universally beloved. There were some directors and some teachers at Second City at both Toronto and Chicago that were not loved. In fact, they were disliked. I'm not going to make any names, but Joe was universally beloved by all of us. So, it's sad, but, you know, apparently he was suffering there, so.
Yeah, probably best not to continue in that state. Congratulations on the success of this new Ghostbusters movie, Frozen Empire. What fuels this franchise? I mean, it's been so popular for such a long time, and it's a smash at the box office again this time.
Well, the fans love it, and also people love ghosts. They love to laugh. And they love the camaraderie among the original Ghostbusters. But now Frozen Empire has this bonus of this tremendous comedian, Kumail Nanjiani, who's in it, and Paul Rudd, of course, and Patton Oswalt and James Acaster. So we've got a lot of sparkly guest stars in there. We got a great story. There's a scene that should not be missed in there where our main, villain, comes out of a brass orb and comes into New York to terrorize things. And there's a scene where he goes into an apartment in Queens and puts he's got these big, long, long horns. He comes into the apartment, he plucks them off the wall and plugs them back into his head. I mean, I howled when I saw that, and there were kids around me that were a little scared, but that is worth the price of admission, as well as Patton Oswalt's work and everybody's work. So people are enjoying it, and I guess it's just because of those things I said, camaraderie, people love ghosts, they love to laugh, and they love the old callbacks to Slimer and the library ghost and Mr. Stay Puft. So, yeah, we're excited and most grateful at the audience response, yeah.
What's it like for you to, you know, strap on the proton pack again and be there and doing scenes with Bill and Ernie and these old pals of yours?
Well, that part's fun, working with Bill and Ernie, who's magnificent in this picture. He's so solid and so strong. And Billy, of course, provides his antic self there, and he's wonderful in the show as well. And Annie Potts is in it, comes back in it, fully suited up this time. That part of it's great. Putting on the pack, a little miserable. It weighs about 150 pounds.
Really?
We have rubber ones for stunts, but if you want the real one that lights up and makes sounds and has all of the things necessary to put the effects in, it's a heavy piece. It's a military, you know, 150-pound hiking pack, effectively.
So, on my,
That part we don't like.
On my WGN radio show, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago or something, we were talking about the anniversary of the Blues Brothers and how it started and how you and John got things going and went from television to movies into this classic motion picture that I remember. I was just a little baby DJ back then going to work one morning, and I see this car falling from the sky. It was the scene with Henry Gibson where they dropped the car. And, you know, lots of us have lots of memories of when you guys just took over the city making this movie. And I can tell by the grin on your face that this must bring back a million memories.
It does. Every time I go back to Chicago, of course, it does. And what we did, was we made the city a character in the movie. We brought a vibrancy out of it. And we flattered the city with our portrait of it. In a very positive and loving way. And that's very satisfying when I think of Blues Brothers. It's just how much we made Chicago look great.
Yeah. Do you have favorite scenes, favorite moments? I mean, literally on my radio show, the phones blew up. We talked about the movie for an hour of people, their favorite scenes and what they remember when you guys were shooting scenes and Aretha and, you know, the list went on and on of memorable moments. What were yours?
Well, I love the scene where we're leaving Bob's Country Bunker. Elwood and Jake are running out on their beer tab, and he says, "Well, you got to come and settle up the tab." And Belushi's performance there is just magnificent. Where he says, "Well, when this happens, I use something like I usually go to my brother's car and I write a check on the dashboard, and I'm going to go and do that." Just his sensitivity, the way he's. He put that, I will write this check for you and I'll write it on the dashboard. And he goes in and then, of course, we take off. But just that beautiful delivery in that scene. He was so good, John, in the picture. So good. I've watched it a couple of times there in the last few years. And his performance really was just impeccable. It's great.
There's something special about a movie that you can, you see it while you're channel surfing and you stop what you're doing. You have to watch the whole thing and you can pick it up right where you left off.
Like Goodfellas or Godfather.
Yeah. I have a few movies like that where I will stop whatever I'm doing to watch whatever that is because it's so fantastic. So Crystal Head Vodka is, how many years have you been doing this now? You had to be one of the first celebrities to, have their own brand of spirits, yeah. Like so many of them do now. But I think you were one of the first ones.
Well, there's 200 plus celebrity brands around the world, if you can believe it. And we are in the top 10 of survivors there. We're into 17 years in the business. And the reason is not only because of my involvement. In fact, a third of the consumers of Crystal Head are the ones that know I'm involved. There's 2/3 that don't know that it's my product. So it sells because, well, people like the bottle, but also what I put in it. I work very hard to put something in there that people can drink and feel good about, that they're not polluting their stomachs or their digestive systems with some of the additives that are commonly put in beverage alcohol. I don't name names, but glyceride, sugar, and limonene. are placed in a lot of alcoholic beverages, not enough to hurt you. But my attitude was, well, let's try to strip those out of there. If you're a bartender and you want to make a great martini or a great mixed drink, why do you need limonene? Why do you need a citrus? You'll be adding your citrus. Why do you need sugar? You know, there's enough sugar in the alcohol content itself. So I thought, let's strip out those additives. And that's what we've done. And that's why Crystal Head's winning medals all over the world and why we're in 80 countries and millions of bottles sold, because, you know, it's the quality. If you don't have a product that has quality, you don't have a business. And that's why we're alive today and why we're going to be at Wonderverse serving cocktails there on the 8th of April.
Yeah, that's it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll be out there. We'll be covering that. So I'll see you out there. Now, I've always been a vodka drinker. I just like it straight on the rocks. I think it's so soothing and delicious. And your brand, especially soothing and delicious. What's your favorite way to serve a Crystal Head vodka?
Well, I'm loving just the straight up normal martini. You know, shake it up with ice chips, just 2.5 ounces of the vodka. Put it in a martini glass, garnish with an olive or a lemon twist or a lime twist. A rinse of white vermouth before you do that. I'm telling you, you drink that martini up in the glass with ice. It drinks like water. It's very dangerous because you try one and you want another one. So a couple of those won't hurt you. But that's the great way to showcase my vodka is just up in a martini glass with ice with a twist or olives with nothing else. And you get the viscousness from our corn. You get that sweet vanilla, dry, crisp taste that we have that are our notes. And I'm proud of it. We're a Canadian-made country. I get to go all around the world and say we're Canadian-made. We're not Russian. We're a Canadian-made vodka.
Who would have thought this kid from Canada one day would be like one of the world's leading entrepreneurs of vodka when he was over at Second City?
Well, yeah, I'm from Hull, Quebec, across the Ottawa River from Ottawa, the capital city of that great country. And I never dreamed that I'd be doing so many things today that I am doing. But we don't do them alone. I must say that I'm most grateful for my collaborators. All of those records we made, all of the radio, television, House of Blues, which, of course, Chicago has the king daddy of them all there, Dearborn and State. I would say, and the vodka, it all comes from collaborators and experts who know more than me about any business. I've always hewed to the tenet that Lorne Michaels taught me, you know, hire people and bring them into the room, people who are smarter than you. And so that's what's brought much success is that I've collaborated with the best.
There you go, the great Dan Aykroyd chatting with us about his appearance in the Chicago area tomorrow. He'll be out in Oak Brook at the Sony Pictures Wonderverse, brand new immersive entertainment experience. I'll be able to tell you more about it tomorrow. I haven't been out there yet, but I will be tomorrow. We're going to talk with Dan again in person tomorrow from 5 until 8 p.m. He'll be out there to talk about Wonderverse, to talk about the new Ghostbusters movie, and that Crystal Head vodka that he's talking about. It really is a delicious tasting vodka. I mean, there are vodkas and there are vodkas. There are some that are perfectly fine to use with mixers, but like he said, as a martini, just a straight up martini shaken with some crushed ice. I like a blue cheese olive myself. Occasionally, I will enjoy a nice dirty martini, but his particular vodka, I really like the taste of it. So, I'm not sure if I would want to make that one a dirty one. But there are he's going to be serving up some drink ideas, things like that. Again, it's tomorrow from 5 until 8. I'll be out there with our WGN TV cameras, and we'll bring it to you on WGN TV. By the way, Dan Aykroyd is going to be on live with Bob Surratt tomorrow morning at 9:40. So you want a little more Dan Aykroyd? Check out Bob Surratt's show tomorrow morning, 9:40, here on WGN Radio. Okay. I'm enjoying your path of totality.
In the path of totality, Murfreesboro, there,
today.
Home of the 17th Street Barbecue, a legendary place down there,
right?
Which was just jam packed when we were down there in 2017.
Imagine what it must be like today.
Oh, yes.
Skilling, Tom Skilling, talking about how packed it is that you can't find, if you find a hotel room there, $700 a night.
How about that? Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I know. Well, like I said, when we were there in 2017, we stayed 50 miles away. That was the closest place I could find.
Yeah. I guess that's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that Tom Skilling and the producer, Catherine Zink, and the photographers, he's got three photographers with them, our best photographers, that they're all staying in RVs.
In RVs and campers. Oh,
Wouldn't that be fun for us to do something?
I think we should do the show like that.
Where are we going to go?
We'd have our own movable studio.
Where do we want to go?
Chwani, I don't know. You're the king of the road. You've done a lot of road trips.
We'll pick a place, a nice national park somewhere or a state park, perhaps. That would be great. That would be great.
I like to go someplace where there's a geezer. I like to go someplace where I'm not the only old geezer.
You won't
around.
Be the only geezer. Okay, we'll find a geezer.
Geezer, yes.
How fun would that be, though? Like three of us. We're in an RV.
Jack and drive.
Yeah.
While the show is going.
Oh, you mean to do the show mobile?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, on the road. True on the road.
Yeah,
all right, count
sure
me
Jack
in.
Jack wants any part of this.
Count me in.
He's roped in.
I'm all in.
He's
oh,
in.
See? In. See? In. Of course he is.
I'm a great driver.
You ought to be with us three involved.
This is a way to take
we'll
all
be
of us
trouble.
Out at one time.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm picturing, Shwani? You'll appreciate this. I don't know if Andy or Jack has ever seen the movie The Long, Long Trailer.
Oh, yeah.
With Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, where they rent a, it's not really an RV. What would you call that? The trailer. That
those were the old campers.
The
that
old
they used
campers you'd hitch up to the back of your car. And Lucy and Ricky went on a road trip and through the mountains, with this hitch, with this contraption. And it was pretty hilarious. That's how I picture our adventure, our RV adventure.
Didn't they do a number of episodes on the Lucy Show where they drove from New York to California?
Yeah,
remember that?
Sure, of course.
Yeah,
yeah. That'd be fun. Invite some listeners. We have like 50 people in there. It's a new turn on the Dean's Night Out.
There you go. Yeah. All right. We'll have to come up with some locations.
Shwani, you're snoring again.
One thing I'll never, ever forget, when we went down in 2017, we checked in with you that Sunday morning, before the day before, and we did our far-flung forecast from Odell, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, I
which
do remember
was
that.
Right on Old 66 in this marvelous historic gas station that the folks down there have restored, and it's a little museum now. It's a great place to visit.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a working gas station? But
it's a museum. It's a museum now. Oh, yeah, cool. And it's just terrific. And it is right next door to a small cornfield or a soybean field.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful morning. I got out of the car. Dad stayed in the car to listen. And I got out of the car to call you and do the forecast from there. And as I'm wrapping up, a lady is walking toward me. And I'm thinking, she's going to tell me to leave now.
With a pitchfork.
I'm on private property.
Got a pitchfork.
And she came over to me, and we had just finished. We had just wrapped up. And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, "Are you Shwani?" They were listening in the gas station to us.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was marvelous. I'll never forget that. Maybe we could do the show from there.
Did you get any free stuff while you were there?
Of course you would ask this.
Did he was angling,
free
yeah.
stuff?
Did you?
No. But I've got a on another trip that Dad and I did, though, we've got a great video on my YouTube page of that very gas station in Odell, Illinois. Oh, nice. So if you go on my YouTube page, you can see that.
All right.
Well, terrific.
Shout out to Odell, Illinois.
Odell, Illinois, near Dwight.
If you're listening this morning.
Southwest of Joliet.
Hide your children. We're coming back. Glad you're with us as always here. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Talking a lot about the eclipse. Tomorrow is the big eclipse day. We had a fantastic conversation with Tom Skilling, who is retired but is back. He said from the get-go that he would be back occasionally to do special projects. And this one comes like about a month after his retirement. And man, did he sound excited to be back. He sounds just like a kid on Christmas morning. With this big eclipse, he's down in Southern Illinois with part of the WGN TV crew. We've got Demetrius Ivory, who's going to be in Cleveland. Mike Jansen, who is in Carbondale. We've got Tom. We've got Mike Lowe, who's going to be at the Adler Planetarium. We've got people spread out everywhere to thoroughly cover this tomorrow. And the special coverage starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on WGN-TV. We'll cover it all right here on WGN Radio as well. So if you're into the eclipse, this is the place to be. We're going to get into our Food Time segment in a second. And I bring that up while we're talking about the eclipse because some very clever people, much more clever than me, came up with some solar eclipse recipes. Things you can put together if you're having a solar eclipse get-together, you know, to watch everything that's going to go on tomorrow afternoon. So we'll share those recipes in a minute. Also, earlier in the show, you know, we always do our weekend health segment in the 9:30 half hour with Dr. Jeremy Silver. And he and I were talking about protecting your eyes during the solar eclipse. I mean, it's very serious. Tom Skilling mentioned it. Everyone's been mentioning it, that you do not look up directly at the sun tomorrow during the solar eclipse. You literally could go blind. And we dug into that a little bit with Dr. Silver, and I thought it's worth a repeat to hear what he had to say if you weren't with us earlier when we started the show. We've been talking about the solar eclipse tomorrow. How you shouldn't stare directly at the sun. Talk to us a little bit about what could happen if people ignore all of those warnings and what kind of health danger there could be at trying to, you know, view this directly.
Well, very simply, you could go blind and lose your vision. So I think it's pretty important to pay attention to what folks are saying about that. The rays from the sun basically go directly back into your retina and can burn the cells of your retina, which is essentially the movie screen of vision. And so it's really important.
Mm-mm. Sounds like we've got our phone bug back. I recognize that evil sound anywhere. I haven't had that happen in a long time. Our phone ghost sometimes knocks out guests that we're talking to on the telephone. So we'll reconnoiter here and get to Dr. Silver. But you heard him say, it couldn't be more plain. You could go blind if you look directly at the sun tomorrow during the eclipse. So, you know, wear the necessary glasses. Wear, 2-3 pair if you can find them. They're in short supply right now. Or, you know, you do it, through a reflection method. It's going to be all over television. So there's another opportunity to watch it and still remain safe. Dr. Silver, before you got taken down by our phone ghost, you were talking about how looking at it could burn the retinas and you could lose your vision. Pick up, in there of what could happen, please.
You might not know it immediately, but slowly over time, the cells of the retina die, and within 12 to 48 hours, you'd be blind, and there's no coming back from that, at least not with today's technology. So there are things you can do, like simply watch the solar eclipse online or on television. NASA is going to be live streaming it. There are eclipse glasses available, as I've read, that are designed to protect the eyes. But I would be careful about buying those. You know, I would check with your eye doctor before you go ahead and put those on and then look directly at the sun. So there's other ways of doing it to keep yourself safe.
Yeah, what about the reflection method? We were, you know, kind of joking a little earlier about when we were kids, you'd get a shoebox and poke a hole in the shoebox, you know, so you could kind of reflect the images. Is something like that safe to do?
Yes. So you basically take a box, poke a hole on one side, put a piece of paper in it, a white piece of paper, and then poke another hole that you can see through, and the sun shines through the hole and reflects on the paper, and you can see the reflection. But it's purely a reflection of light as opposed to the actual rays of the sun.
Yeah.
And that's why that technology doesn't hurt the eye. So yes, an eclipse box is perfectly safe.
Okay. Now, is there something unusual about the effects of staring right at the sun during an eclipse? I mean, would the same thing happen if you stared at the sun on any other day?
It would. The thing is, nobody stares at the sun because it's bright, number one, and number two, I think we're all taught that it's dangerous to look directly at it. But I think there's a misconception that when there's an eclipse, somehow there's less light and it's less dangerous, but that's just not the case.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's a once in a while phenomena, so people want to you know, say that they saw it. I remember last time, I guess 2017, where we saw prominent people on television without any kind of eye protection whatsoever, staring directly at it, just completely ignoring all the warnings from health people and just staring directly at it.
And we never heard from them again.
So there you go. There you get. There's your warning right there.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. Take the necessary precautions. It's definitely not worth damaging your vision. It's Dr. Jack Silver who joins us every Sunday morning from 9:30 until 10. We talk about the week's health news, things that are going on that you know, could benefit you with regard to health issues. And there he is with the, you know, the thing that we hear over and over and over again, even though amazingly some people choose to ignore the advice. Don't look directly at the eclipse. You could go blind. Are there any more powerful words than that? You could go blind. Take the necessary precautions. Tom Skilling was, when we talked with him about an hour ago, was talking about, you know, seeing it in a group setting. A lot of people are doing that. They're, you know, going to the Adler Planetarium. There's a lot of people have gone downstate, although Tom says it's crazy packed down there. Hotel, you can't even get a hotel. You can't even get near it because there's so many people who are headed down toward the Carbondale area, down in Ohio, Indiana, etc. But, you know, I don't know where in the Chicago area, if there are any, you know, group things going on. I know that some stadiums are opening up. Tom had mentioned that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where they do the Indy 500, are opening their doors so people can watch the eclipse in the seats of the speedway itself. That sounds like that could be kind of fun if you want to do something in a group setting. Does anybody know of any group events here in the Chicago area where this is going on? Or what are you planning on doing tomorrow for the eclipse? Are you doing something with the kids? Are you just going to completely ignore it? I am curious about some of your plans. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number or our text. You can chime in on both. Love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. What are your eclipse plans tomorrow?
Be happy.
All about the sunshine, all about the eclipse tomorrow.
Sunshine.
What are you doing for it? 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here is the 312 area code. I'm on the road right now listening. I'll be staying overnight with my daughter at U of I in Champaign and then be headed to Casey, Illinois, to watch the eclipse and also see the world's largest mailbox. Now, that is a road trip that I would take, to see the world's largest mailbox. Mark, how about you? What are you doing for the eclipse?
Hi, am I on the line live with you now?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
Okay. I'm good. So I'm picking your station up. I'm in Muncie, Indiana. First, I turned the radio off so we didn't get the back feed, and I'm like 45 miles north of 465, which involves in Indianapolis.
Right.
I've been in every 8500 since 1972.
Nice.
And my wife and I were originally going to make plans to go to Lakeside, Ohio, which would be on Lake Erie near Cleveland. And I didn't make reservations soon enough. And then this thing came up that they're going to have in Indianapolis. So
yeah, at the speed
they're going to hand out glasses when you get there. I think the admission to get in was $20.
Oh, it's not bad.
We're going to take a bus ride around the track. And you've got NASA there, Purdue University. There's STEM things. There's going to be astronauts doing autographs later on after the event. So it's pretty cool. I'm kind of excited.
That sounds super cool. And, you know, to be able to drive around the track, even in a bus, that's got to be kind of thrilling if you've been going to the Indy 500 all these years. To actually be on the track and experience that would be cool.
Yeah. Well, one thing they had with that was I went to every Brickyard 400 race from 1994 to 2022. And at one point, as the attendance was dropping down with that race, they were worried it was going to rival the Daytona 500 because the attendance at the first Brickyard was actually higher than the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
So they had this thing called Club 94, and they were really catering to their people that bought tickets ever since 94 to the certain point. And 2 years in a row, they gave us passes to drive on the track.
Oh, how cool is that?
So we towed a pop-up camper down here with the minivan, and we were out on the track. Now, my wife didn't like it when I was following the skid marks up to the wall. And they told you not that you had to drive no faster than 30 miles an hour, but they didn't tell you a minimum speed.
Yeah.
So I slowed down to enjoy it, and I had the safety patrol waving me on, like, hey, buddy.
Keep going. Don't stop. Keep moving. I went to the Indy 500 one time, and it was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. So I totally get your enthusiasm for that. Mark, I appreciate you checking in. Thank you. Let me see what we've got here. Here is the 847 area code. Lori and Wilmette writing in. I wanted to share that my son, who is a junior at New Trier High School in Winnetka, is on his way to Indianapolis Motor Speedway right now with 50 of his biology classmates. How cool is that? What a great, great learning experience that's going to be for them. Here is, let me see, Dean, this is Judy in St. Joseph, Missouri. I used to live in Peoria. I've been a WGN fan religiously. Our plans for the eclipse is to go to West Plains, Missouri in the morning. And then basically after the eclipse, we're going to visit the Ozarks. I've been there before, but my children have not. Incidentally, if people don't know, Dick Van Dyke was born in West Plains, Missouri. Really? I thought he was born in Danville, Illinois.
He was born there and grew up in Danville.
Oh, born in West Plains, Missouri, and then grew up in Danville. Did not know that. Did he trip over an ottoman there?
He may have, yes.
Because that's all that really matters to me now. 12:39, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. I forgot how many great songs are on that Tapestry album. One of my favorite albums back in the day when it first came out. Broke every record that there was. The music of Carole King, which is celebrated in the Tony Award-winning musical Beautiful, the Carole King musical. that is getting ready to open up at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. They've done such a great job with, you know, so many shows that they've done there. I think this is going to be a good one, and we want you to join me for a Dean's Night Out at the Paramount to see this show. It's the story of Carole King's life and career, starting off as a songwriter, becoming a musical superstar unto herself with songs like I Feel the Earth Move and So Far Away, It's Too Late. You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. This one, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Her version is just, you know, gives you goosebumps when you hear it. The show is going to be at the Paramount in Aurora. You can get your tickets by going to ParamountAurora.com. Or if you would like to try to win a couple of tickets to see the show, join me for a performance and a pre-show reception on top of it, then you need to go to our contest page, which is WGNRadio.com/contests. Okay? WGNRadio.com/contests. The sweepstakes will end Sunday, April the 28th at precisely 11:59 p.m. Central Time. So, hope you can join us, and we'll take a stroll down memory lane and relive, as I like to say, the songs that were part of the soundtrack of our youths. So the big solar eclipse is tomorrow. There's hardly been any talk about it. So I don't know if you know that this is going on. Our text line is really an interesting array of opinions about this. A lot of people. Here's one, Brian from Downers Grove. Pulling the kids out of school for this big event, debating whether or not to stay there or here, want to grill hot dogs and enjoy it, would be able to hear and watch the birds reacting to it all, or maybe driving 3 hours to Indianapolis for the totality. Any experts recommend one over the other? Well, Tom Skilling, who was on, said the group experience is the way to go with this. So, you know, for whatever Tom Skilling's, you know, he's got some expertise with this. I think I would go with what he says. 815 area code. Dean, loved the Sunday show. Thank you for that. We are going to Severson Dells Nature Center in the Rockford area. Lots of open sky to appreciate it. I'm a past board member and invite you to bring your show on the road there. Well, thank you. That's very nice. We can take you canoeing in one of our rivers. Okay, that sounds fun. I would love to do that. And here are some others. 847 area code said, Dean, I'm the Andy Mazur. I'm in the Andy Mazur camp about the eclipse. I have no interest. He said, plus, I also have retinal disease, so I'd feel crazy staring at the sun, even with glasses on. And a couple of other people say they have absolutely no interest, or they'll just watch it on TV. Very, very interesting. Wide array of people taking the kids out of school, going on road trips, driving down to Indianapolis or, you know, wherever to be part of the communal experience with the whole thing. And of course, some people in the culinary community stepped forward with some solar eclipse recipe ideas. Now, I got to admit, I did not think of this clever idea, but I wish I had, because I think it's so darn clever. There are a bunch of websites that you can go to. If you just Google solar eclipse recipes, you'll get tons of recipe ideas. A couple that jumped out at me, of course, include homemade moon pies. Now, I've never made moon pies, but can you think of anything better for a solar eclipse get-together than, you know, serving some moon pies for it all? And one of the recipes that I'm looking at, the Detroit Free Press had published a bunch of recipes, so I'm going to give them their proper credit, but they've got a recipe here for the cookie dough for the moon pie and the marshmallow center and the chocolate coating. It's basically what a moon pie is. I don't know if I would go to that much trouble, but I might take a couple of graham cracker type cookies, put the marshmallow center in the middle of them, and then dip them in chocolate and let them harden up a little bit. And basically, then you've got yourself a homemade moon pie. But if you want to make the graham cracker cookie shells from scratch, this recipe shows you how to do that. That is in it's a recipe that links from the Detroit Free Press. Here's another one that I liked that is called the Milky Way Bar Cake. Isn't that clever for something like this? A Milky Way Bar Cake. Now, it's basically a chocolate bundt cake, but what they also did was take 15 of those little bite-sized Milky Way bars. I guess you could, get regular-sized Milky Way bars if you wanted and cut them up. But basically what they do is they took the chocolate cake recipe, basic chocolate cake recipe, chopped up the Milky Way bars and melted them in a saucepan with some buttermilk into the cake mixture. So now you've got the ooey-gooey Milky Way, melted Milky Way bar in your batter. And then you bake that as you normally would, and then take more of the melted candy bars with some butter and water and drizzle that over the cake when it's done. That becomes your frosting, basically. And that sounds super delicious and apparently tastes just like a Milky Way bar. Detroit Free Press, if you want to get some of these ideas. I did see one other one that I wanted to mention that I love the idea. It is just a basic butter cookie that, you bake little round butter cookies and melt some chocolate for the frosting. And what you do is take each of the cookies and dip them in the chocolate in different depths so it looks like the moon. You put them all on a platter, and because you've dipped the chocolate with different depths, it looks like the moon passing over the sun. I hope I'm describing this correctly, but it's very, very, it's so clever. And super easy, these eclipse cookies. Super easy to find all these recipes. Go on the Google, just put in solar eclipse recipes, and tons of them will come up. I love the creativity of all of that. Let me tell you about my Wednesday cooking segment coming up on WGN-TV this week. Last Wednesday, we did a nice spring recipe. I did a lemon pasta primavera. So it was a pasta. I did a ziti pasta because I wanted something tubular for this delicious lemon, garlic, and butter sauce to kind of creep into. I did a ziti and infused lemon juice and lemon zest into the pasta with some butter and some garlic. Brightens the whole thing up. It was so delicious. I pan roasted some vegetables. You can put whatever kind of vegetables you want. I put a green zucchini, a yellow squash. I put some carrots, some asparagus. What else did I put in? Oh, a red bell pepper. Just, sauteed it up, mixed that in then with the pasta. And it was a delightful, light spring pasta dish. So if you want to check out the recipe, it's at WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. That's where we keep all of our recipes. WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. And this coming Wednesday, because this week will mark the end of the Muslim Ramadan season, I thought I was going to do some Middle Eastern recipes for you to break during Ramadan. It's a fasting period for people who are Muslim. And to break the fast, they have these wonderful, great feasts. I'm going to do a few Middle Eastern favorite recipes that you can do at home that are so easy and so delicious. Let me tell you about them when we come right back. All right, it is 12:52, and this is Dean Richards, Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time, and I'm glad you're here for it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. If you've got cooking questions, since we've been doing our TV cooking segment, since really the beginning of the pandemic is when it started. We started doing it because during the pandemic, we couldn't get any guests to come on the TV morning show with us. So we, we're self-generating our own ideas. And one of them was this cooking segment, which has taken off like crazy. And I appreciate all of your support and nice comments about it. I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. And I'm glad that you are all enjoying it as well. We keep all of our recipes. We put all the information about it on the TV website, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks, if you want to check out recipes and such. As I'd mentioned, I've had actually quite a few people asking, since I did some recipes for Easter, since in the past I've done recipes for Passover and Hanukkah and variety of religious holidays, what I think about doing something for the breaking of the Islamic holiday of Ramadan, which is, I believe, on the 12th. I think that's when it starts. The fasting period ends for people who are Muslim, and it's a huge feast called Eid after that. Yeah, so I thought we'd come up with a few Middle Eastern recipes, nothing too complicated, and certainly some that I know, whether you are of Middle Eastern descent or no matter what your background, probably some things that you really enjoy. Because if you walk into any supermarket, you'll see a whole shelf, a refrigerated case of different hummus products, the ground chickpeas. And I'm telling you what, I mean, they're okay when you buy them at the store. But if you can make homemade hummus, it will knock your socks off of how much more delicious it is when it's homemade and so incredibly easy to make. So I'm going to show you how to make homemade hummus, which is basically just a can of chickpeas, a lemon, a garlic clove, a little bit of tahini, which is ground sesame, comes in a jar. Every store has it. A little salt and pepper, a little olive oil goes into the mixture. You can put a tiny bit of cumin in. And you know what else I put in? This is sort of a secret ingredient. Put a couple of ice cubes in it because the ice cubes as ice crystals help to make the mixture creamy and not get clumpy. So it adds to the creaminess of the whole mixture. It all goes into a blender or a food processor. It's as simple as that. You put it all in. You know, you might have to adjust a little bit, maybe put a little more olive oil in it, depending on how thick you like it. But the zestiness of the lemon, the nuttiness of the tahini, the ground sesame, the ground chickpeas, everything makes such a delicious dip, and I'm telling you, is about 10 times more delicious than anything that you will buy in the store. I'm also going to make a chicken shawarma nachos. Now, chicken shawarma is like, it's like gyros. You know, it's normally it's sort of cut off the cone and they make sandwiches out of it. But I'm going to take the chicken shawarma, the chicken gyros basically, and make it like a nacho dish on a big platter with some vegetables and some French fries, some French fried potatoes, and that you can, it's like a nice snack. It's like nachos, except it's got kind of a Middle Eastern flair to the whole thing. I'm going to show you how to do it all on my Wednesday cooking segment on WGN-TV this week. We cook every Wednesday at about 9:35. I'm going to make a tabbouleh salad. It's a very traditional Middle Eastern salad with cucumbers and parsley and tomatoes and basically olive oil and lemon. All three of these recipes are super easy, and they are super, super, super delicious. So I hope you can tune in for that and enjoy some more of our recipes. We'll wrap things up when we come right back. All right, that's going to be it for us today. Thank you so much for listening, as always. See you tomorrow and every Monday through Friday between 8 and 8:30 on Bob Surratt Show.